Well, hello and welcome back to Witchcast. I'm Julia, and I just want to say first off, thank you for listening to the previous episode, guys. I really appreciate it, and happy Friday. So today we have a very special guest for this episode. Her name is Alana, and we're going to talk about what a death witch is. And I know it sounds really scary and kind of insane. It's not, it's beautiful. And we're going to talk about how she started practicing. So let's get to it. And then we're going to have Alana say hi and we'll get started.
Hey, everyone. I'm Alana and I'm really excited to be here.
Yes. And we're very excited to have you here, or I'm very excited to have you here, actually. So before we jump into what a death witch is, let's pull a tarot card of the day and we'll see what we get. So I'm just going to shuffle for 2 seconds. Give me 1 second. Okay, and so the card that I pulled for this episode is going to be Ace of Pentacles, and now that's going to be reversed, okay? So now, like I said in previous episodes, getting a card that is reversed is not a bad thing. If anything, it tells you to look at it a little bit closer and to kind of just give you a message and hidden meanings of what the actual card is. So I think it's pretty special that we got one like that, and so now this card, Pentacles suits, typically describe your material world and what is realistic. So if a Pentacle suit comes up, it's time to use your common sense, right? So Pentacles also coincide with the earth element, and it brings everything kind of just starts rolling with everything. So earth element, you kind of just, you need to feel grounded, and this one is perfect for each other. So this card reversed typically means that you have a missed opportunity, you're frustrated, or hard work is needed. And I totally understand all those aspects for this podcast. And I know it's going to be a lot of work, but I'm motivated and I have a lot of energy. Trust me, I got a lot of energy to make this really work and have good content. So, and I know that with having Alana on this episode, she's going to take the frustration and distraction away from me that I think is very minuscule. And she's going to make this episode like amazing. And I'm very, very happy to have her here. So Alana, why don't you tell us what you think?
I mean, you did a great job of summing up really what the Ace of Pentacles is and what it means when it's reversed. One thing when the Ace of Pentacles is reversed that I always think of is that if there's something I'm hesitant about, like if I have a new opportunity or a chance to try something I haven't before but I'm unsure about it, or have hesitations, the reverse Ace of Pentacles is telling me to, you know, let go of those hesitations, that, you know, you're, whatever it is that's making you worry about it, that doesn't matter. It's time to start something new and it's time to try new things and go into everything with an open mind. So it's just, I always see it as a really exciting card, whether it comes out reversed or not.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like I said, reverse cards, they don't, it's not a bad thing to have. So when you're shuffling your deck and you get a card and it's reversed, don't think like, oh shit, you know, like this is going to be bad. Get ready for judgment, you know? But before we kind of kick off the whole starting what like a death witch is, let's kind of talk about how we met. And I think it's a pretty funny story. Alana, you want to kind of start it?
Sure. It's a crazy story. We met on pretty much three social media platforms.
Three platforms, yeah. Exactly.
We started on Instagram. One day you just sent me a message and we started chatting. I know we were exchanging recommendations of different books that we should all read about witchcraft. And next thing I know, we're chatting on Facebook, and at the some point in time we realized that who each other were and that we've been talking before.
Exactly. And I thought that was hilarious.
It
because
was crazy.
You know, you told me, you're like, oh, so here's my Instagram, I'm the witch next door, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've been talking to you for a couple days. So, and then how else did we meet?
On the Occultish Dicks Discord server. You'd sent me a message on there and I was like, hey, it's me again.
Yeah, it's like you keep asking who I am and I'm telling you who I am. And, you know, I completely thought that was hilarious because we kept going back and forth on whether or not I know you. And I'm just like, okay, this time I know who Alana is. Like, let's get this straight.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty fun. And before we kind of get started, Discord is basically, it's kind of like an app for gamers, but Occultish, our group leader in the online coven, he created the actual portal to get there. And it has like a lot of different topics that you can choose from. And you meet like a lot of different people every single day. Yeah. And I think it's a really good way to meet like-minded witches, beginner witches, intermediate, expert. I mean, you can meet all walks of life on this chat server. So I highly recommend it. It's called Discord. And then just look for the Occultish group name. So just want to get started. And Alana, let's talk about what a death witch is.
Yes. I definitely want to, I have so much to say about what death magic is and what it is I do. But before I can even explain any of that, I think it's important to talk about what led me to becoming a death witch and led me down this path in my practice. And
absolutely.
Really, it started before I even realized that it did. When I think back to being a little kid now, like I was practicing magic before I even knew what I was doing. I was like a little kid writing like love spells on paper and throwing them into this lake that was behind my house.
So funny. I love it.
I remember just Googling like, how do I like spells to make someone love me?
And then totally.
And then eventually, like, my mom, like, I loved watching, like, it was around the time, like, Supernatural had come out, and I was super into that, so my mom got me a Ouija board.
Oh, no.
And I know, she bought, like, a 12-year-old a Ouija board.
Was it the Barbie one or the glow-in-the-dark one?
It was Parker Brothers.
Very cool. Even better. Even better. I love
but
it.
Then I started inviting people over for like seances, and we'd sit in the laundry room because there were no windows and light all these candles, which I don't recommend children or people that don't know what they're doing play with Ouija boards, like, as
yes,
non-restricted as I did, because weird things definitely happened.
Oh, definitely. I know with my experience of Ouija boards, once you kind of get started with the Ouija board and play the games, you're inviting a lot of different entities in, and you're speaking to them, and they're basically saying you're giving them permission to come in. So just be careful, but Alana can tell you a lot more about that.
Yes, it's like an open invitation unless you really know what you were doing, and I had no idea what I was doing. But like, you know, kids grow out of that stuff, and I got older and just stopped with all of it. And I think it's pretty common, you know, all little kids believe in magic. We all believe in the tooth fairy. But you know, eventually, which one day I will tell you all my theories on the tooth fairy.
There's a lot of different stories.
It would take a whole day.
Exactly. There's so many different entities out there and topics that we can talk about that just require a whole episode's worth. So I completely understand where you're coming from.
But Leah, I got older, stopped doing that sort of stuff. And then in my early 20s, I saw a spiritual life coach. And she wasn't a witch, but she was a psychic and a medium. Mm-hmm. And she taught me tarot, and she taught me divination. And we spent a couple of months working together, and I was very involved in it all. And I learned so much from her, but just life kind of had its ups and downs, and I fell away from it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then in 2009, so last year is when I really started getting back into things. Just a lot of shit happened in 2019. I lost someone very close to me, and I was in just a horrible place for a long time. And one day, for one reason or another, I felt like buying a tarot deck. And I went out to the store that I had used to get all my crystals and everything at, and I went through the decks, and I spent so long looking at them, the people there were probably like, what is she doing?
She's a lurker, I
picked up every single deck, because I was like, I need to find the one that feels right. And I found the most random deck possible. It's called the Syrian Starseed deck.
Very cool.
And it's I was the artwork on it is beautiful. But it's all lots of like space and stuff like that, the planets. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting, a very interesting deck.
Yeah.
But I just felt connected to it as soon as I got it and started using the cards again. And next thing I knew, I was buying pendulums and crystals, and I did not realize I started practicing death magic until after I started.
Yeah, that just comes to you. Yeah, for sure.
That's just where my mind was at that time. I was thinking about death a lot. And what I realized my first venture into death magic was a spell jar. I had made other types of spell jars before. But I wanted to make a grief jar, something that I could trap my grief in so I didn't have to hold it all myself.
Yeah.
So it was mine and my fiance's anniversary, and I spent it at the cemetery with him, and I took dirt from his grave and mixed that in with different crystals and herbs and made this spell jar with it. And I didn't really think much more of it than that it was a spell jar. I asked permission to take the dirt from the grave. That's something you always want to make sure you do when taking anything from a grave. Mm-hmm. I left a rose as like an offering back to thank him for that. And it was the most powerful spell that I had ever done. You could feel the energy coming off of that jar. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And then just a couple weeks later, I'm just scrolling through Facebook and I see this random article about grave dirt and its uses in magic. So I start reading that, and then I fall into one of those like Google rabbit holes where now I'm clicking on links from everything. And I start reading about death magic. And the more I read about it, I'm like, okay, so that's what I'm doing, I guess. Like pretty much everything it's saying that's part of death magic is something that I've already been drawn to.
Yeah.
And then of course I wanted to start researching everything at that point. And that was kind of my entry into being a death witch. But everyone's practice, you know, there's not only one part of every practice. I do a lot of, like, I consider myself a kitchen witch and a garden witch. Mm-hmm. I work with herbs more than anything else. I, you know, cook with herbs and intent. And so there's so many different aspects to thing, but when it comes down to it, the core of my practice really is death magic.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing, because you can combine all these different kinds of practices with you. You just said that, you know, you use a little bit of kitchen magic, you use a little bit of like a garden witch, and you know, it sounds very eclectic, and I think that's very cool that you kind of incorporate all these together and kind of built like almost your own practice. So that's very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And so I kind of wanted to get into this debate because I did some research myself on what death magic is. Of course, I'm always looking for new things and topics and curious, and I saw that a lot of articles were saying that necromancy is part of being a death witch. Is that true?
It is. A lot of people just, you know, kind of use the terms interchangeably. Mm-hmm. But it's more that necromancy is part of death magic.
Okay.
So all necromancy is, and it has, like, when I first, the first time I saw that word in relation to death magic, I was like, what are they talking about? Because I'm used to it from like video games and it involving like raising the dead out of the ground and like just spells in Latin and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But all it is using divination to communicate with the dead. So it's death magic is working with the spirit realm and working with the dead. So it in itself is a form of divination, because all divination is seeking knowledge through the supernatural. And that's what death witches do. We communicate with the dead through supernatural means to gain knowledge from them. So necromancy is definitely part, a very big part of death magic, but it's only one part. Okay. There's definitely people that'll practice necromancy and not be death witches.
Okay. So that's actually a really good distinction, because a lot of people, they think because I know when I heard, oh, you practice death magic, like, do you summon spirits, or do you summon, you know, like the gates of hell to get to the spirits, or whatever the case is. It just seems so different, because, you know, you hear there's all kinds of different witches out there in the world. Of course, we're never going to have one huge legend of, you know, all the different types, but it's just hearing what a death witch is very uncommon. So I'm very grateful that, you know, you're definitely telling us what exactly it is and how you practice. But, you know, I also wanted to ask, how do you incorporate magic into your everyday life, whether it be your death magic, or, you know, just magic in general? What do you typically do, like, on a daily basis, or just when you're practicing spells?
Well, I do a lot. A big part of my practice is reading tarot. I do a reading for myself every morning. And when I need guidance, that's where I go to. And I know there are countless ways for people to read tarot. There's people that use intuition for it, that call upon deities and gods and goddesses.
Yeah.
For me, I'm seeking guidance from my ancestors.
Okay.
So a big part of death magic is working with your ancestors. Yes. And they don't necessarily have to be someone blood related to you. They can be someone that, you know, was very close to you while they were alive. But those are the spirits that are there to guide you. They're kind of the ones that are always looking upon, like looking over your shoulder, looking after you.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people do work with deities and gods and goddesses, like I said, when they're using tarot. And kind of in the comparison between the two, because, you know, you would think calling a deity, they're all knowing, they're, you know, all powerful, all that stuff. But when you're calling upon your ancestors, it's their wisdom that you're looking for.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you would, you know, I still call, I'm, you know, I'm almost 30 and I still call my mom for advice, because she's been through more than I have and she knows more. And our ancestors have gone through not only this lifetime, but, you know, hundreds of maybe even thousands of years in the afterlife. So they have so much experience and wisdom to share with us. So working with them is probably the biggest thing I do throughout my day.
Oh, for sure. Like you said, kind of just worshiping your ancestors or praying to your ancestors. I think that's a really good way to put it. Because, like you said, it doesn't necessarily have to be a relative or like a family member. You can call upon the ancestors of, like, witches that have passed. And I feel like, you know, when you do tarot card readings, it's almost like you're talking to your spirit guide, or someone that is like your spirit guide, or just someone that is listening to you, you know?
So. Yes. And it's definitely that is a big thing that death witches do, is call upon witches of the past. They are very powerful forces. And if they're out there willing to help you, it's amazing to be able to work with them. Yeah. And I don't personally, but there are death witches that do work with deities. And I think there's a lot more deities in death magic than people would realize that are well known. Right. I mean, the most well known is definitely going to be Hades or Pluto. He's, you know, the guardian of the underworld. But the Romans and the Greeks, he had dozens of gods and goddesses of death. Hecate was a Greek goddess, and she's a very common goddess for death witches to work with, because she lives in the underworld.
That is so cool.
I've always found, also, I personally love Norse gods and goddesses. I don't know what it is, because if I look through my history and my family history, I don't have any connections over there, but for some reason I just find Norse gods and goddesses so interesting. And they have this goddess Freya.
I was just about to say Freya. I was because she's like one of the most well known.
Yes. For sure. But she's known as the goddess of fertility and love. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, she's also the guardian of, I'm going to butcher this, Falknervor. No. So it's, everyone knows Valhalla, but there's two different. So there's Valhalla, which is in the heavens, and Falknervor, which is on Earth.
Perfect.
And Odin is up in Valhalla, and Freya is in Falknervor. Okay. And she's the guardian over the spirits there. So while she's the goddess of fertility and love, she's also the guardian of the spirit world.
Yeah, so you definitely have Freya, Hecate, and you got a lot going on with all the deities, like you said, right?
And then, and another one that I always find fun to mention from Egyptian lore is Anubis, the big one on the boat with the bird head. He's the one that brings you to the underworld. So there's all this, there's so much that people don't realize is part of death magic that they already know about.
Yeah, it's all a history lesson of basically witchcraft that you just don't know it is. And that's so cool. We were talking about death magic and what it means to you and stuff. I think this kind of relates to another topic about past lives. Do you believe in that, or do you kind of like work with that as well?
I do believe in past lives. It's not something that's become really part of my practice. Mm-hmm. I do most of my work with the spirit realm. But I definitely do believe in past lives, and there's definitely a crossover between past lives and the spirit realm. Really, the only requirement for being a death witch really is that you believe in something after this life, some afterlife, whether it's a next life, so past lives, or it's, a heaven or any version of that. As long as you feel in your heart that there's something more than, just what's here and now, then you have what's in you to be a death witch.
Oh, for sure. And, listeners, guys, I absolutely believe in past lives. It's a huge thing that I kind of practice in my practice. I talk to a lot of different people from my past life that I believe that are still in me. So it's a very interesting topic, but we'll definitely talk about past lives in another episode. I kind of just wanted to touch upon it and kind of see what Alana thinks. But Alana, what kind of advice would you give for beginner witches that are just starting to wake up?
Oh, I'm very big into reading. So I would just tell them, what I did was just pick up so many books, anything that calls to you, and just learn everything and anything that you want. There's so much information out there, mm-hmm. and there's, as well, just find that information, and find a mentor to work with. My mentor wasn't even a witch, but she was able to, she taught me to get in tune with, with myself enough to find my craft. So definitely finding and connecting to other witches and other people that do this work, is what I would suggest for the new witches out there.
Oh, for sure. Like, I get that 100%. Having a mentor, I think, is the best thing you can possibly do for yourself when you become awakened. And granted, it's not easy to find someone who's, going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll take you under my wing. I've had so many different mentors in my life that come and go. But, once you find the right one, it's kind of like, okay, I can do this. And they want to watch you grow. And it's beautiful once you grow, right?
Yes.
And so I think for beginner witches, it's very important that you understand that when you look up things on the internet, take it with a grain of salt. Sometimes, things aren't always factual. What I believe is when you do your research, you kind of just like take things here and there and compile it and make it your own kind of research, your own paper. So I think that with all the information that we've gotten today, I think it's a beautiful kind of lesson to learn about what a death witch is, and where you come from, and how you come to be this amazing witch. So do you have anything else you want to say to the listeners?
I just want to make sure if you do decide to work with the spirit realm and work with the dead, it's a great thing to do, and I definitely would recommend it. Just the big thing is you want to make sure that you're honoring the dead that you're working with. They have no obligation to answer us when we call upon them. You always want to make sure that you show that you're grateful, that they're willing to work with us and that we respect them. And they're not always going to be there to answer. There's plenty of times where I pull out my pendulum. I do something called dowsing. I don't know if the listeners know exactly what that is, but it's you basically have a crystal pendulum and you ask the questions. And there's times where I just sit there and it just spins in a circle and does nothing.
I have the same results sometimes.
But just like you can't make a person talk to you, doesn't mean like you can't make a spirit talk to you. Just quick funny story about that though. A spirit that I work with a lot, and it was one of my ancestors that I knew when they were alive, and we were very close, and I communicate with him often, and I was trying, and it was a couple of weeks went by and was not answering when I used my pendulum.
Right.
And I was getting frustrated.
Yeah.
But like, I knew him, like I was like, okay, he's trying to get a reaction out of me. So I just went like all crazy girl and covered myself in sigils and meditated for like hours and basically just nagged him into talking to me.
That's awesome. That is so amazing.
And I was like, and like we laughed about it, like he was in good spirits, like he wasn't mad, but like if you're gonna do that, make sure it's a spirit you've been working with for a while.
Yeah, for sure.
And that don't overwork yourself when you're trying to connect. If it doesn't come naturally, just put things down and try again another time. But eventually it'll come to you, as long as you're honoring those that you're trying to connect with, you know, they will be there. Another tip I would have if you're trying to get into death magic is using an ancestor candle. I keep one on my altar all the time. It's a candle that has different herbs or oils in it, and that has the intentions put into it when it's being made to attract your ancestors.
Yeah.
So like I moved recently, and one of the first things I did is that, you know, I saged everything down and then I lit that candle.
That is so cool.
So things like that. And that also goes back to how, like, you know, kitchen witch and garden witch and all that stuff.
They all tie together.
Yeah. So like, exactly. Now I'm using these herbs and this candle to help with my death magic. Just once you find your ancestors and your spirit guides, the possibilities are really endless.
Oh, absolutely. And I just wanted to mention too, like what Alana was saying, don't like invoke spirits that you've never worked with. You need to do your research and kind of figure out what they're all about. Or if it's like an ancestor that you've had, or like a family member, you need to ask for permission. I think it's always good practice to always ask for permission and always do your research, because if you invoke the wrong thing, it could really mess your life up.
Yes, I actually, the main spirit that I work with, I tried a few times to contact him, and I wasn't really getting anywhere. And I ended up meeting a medium at a conference I was at.
Wow, very cool.
And she, you know, I got her card, and I ended up setting something up with her, and she connected me with the spirit I had been trying to connect with. And, you know, apparently he had been trying to get my attention too. I just wasn't realizing things. She was like, have you noticed things have been getting knocked over and stuff lately? I'm like, I mean, yeah, but like, I'm clumsy. I knock things over all the time.
I'm such a klutz too.
And then I get home, and the next day, 3 light bulbs go out. So I'm like, okay, thank you for being clear now.
Yes. Thanks for the message. I appreciate that.
So really, we were just kind of just missing each other. We weren't, you know, matching up on that right plane. So I got help from someone with more experience. And that was me getting my permission to work with him, though. Like, she asked him, I asked through her, you know, would it be okay if I call upon you when, you know, you come and answer me? And he said, yes. So don't be afraid to go to help, to get someone else to help you connect with spirits for the first time either.
Yes.
There's always someone out there to help.
Yeah, definitely. There's always someone out there to help you. They usually come to me. I don't look for them. It's like how, you know, you don't look for love. Love looks for you, kind of notion. But Alana, do you want to kind of just spell out your Instagram in case, you know, our listeners want to reach out to you for more information?
Yes. So it's going to be @the_witch_next_door.
Perfect. And, you know, I think everyone should kind of understand that Death Witch is not a scary thing. We had a whole podcast about how amazing it is, right?
Yeah.
So if you ever feel like you want to contact either of us, you can contact Alana. She just gave you her Instagram. Our Instagram is witchcast9 on Instagram. So if you want to kind of catch me on there, just message me and we'll talk about different topics. And if you want to recommend anything, just let me know as well. There's a lot of ways to message me to get through to me and we'll figure it out. So I just want to say thank you for listening and I hope everyone has a great Friday. And Alana, thank you for being with us. I'd love to have you again for like another past life episode.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Like anytime you want, just let me know.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing because, you know, I'm trying to get a lot of different witches to come on board and to kind of like experiment and kind of have them tell their story. Because, you know, you see all these kind of Hollywood glamour types of things and you don't know what's real. And I think mm-hmm. it's real to have like a real life witch kind of go through their daily life as a witch or even just as a regular person like you and me.
Yeah.
So, I just like I said, want to say thank you for listening and we'll see you guys in the next one.